they were taking an exam, and they came up, they had a question, and they had a bracelet on, and it had Philippians 4:13 on it. You know, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm like, that's a good one for a test, you know. And but was just thinking, you know, Jesus has given us everything we need, as it says, for life and godliness. And some of us may have come in here today just feeling kind of weighed down. And I just love the message that, you know, nothing is impossible. So let's just go to prayer right now and just, you know, and let's just try to unload some of the things that we just feel are impossible for us right now. Lord, we come to you this morning and just acknowledge our weakness. If we're honest, Lord, there are some things that are going on maybe in our lives that just seem larger than life, much bigger than us, and too much for us to handle. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, that you are in the business of doing the impossible, that you can help us to bear up under any trial by the power of your Spirit. Lord, you can help us to, you can heal, you can help. Lord, you save. And some of us can look back maybe on our lives and see how you saved us out of a great tragedy that we were in, or just in a terrible situation, Lord. So we just want to praise you this morning. Thank you that we know and believe that you can do the impossible, and that you are with us in everything there. And that we thank you of the withness of God, that you are with us through the Holy Spirit. And so thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a couple of announcements this morning, just to draw to your attention. One is, I don't know if we can get it up on the screen there. Thank you. There's a postcard, if you will, a large postcard size thing that if you are a parent of someone 12 years and older, I really encourage you to grab one of these on your way out. They're right underneath the bulletin board there, or they're also on the cafe tables, the high top tables in the other room where the coffee is. But there's a family discipleship event happening at Linworth Road Church, which is the church we were planted out of. It's in Worthington, and it's a 5-hour time designed for parents and their teenager to go through together. And so I encourage you to check out this website. There's a short video there that kind of describes what's going on. But it's a way for parents and teenagers to kind of connect on things that are really vital in terms of them following the Lord and you helping them and so on. And the group that's putting this on, I believe it's Summit Ministries, they really know how to connect with the young people. And so everything they do that's interactive and is really going to relate to your student and also point them in a godly way. So really encourage you. That's $10 a person, I think, is what the registration fee is, includes a lunch. So check that out. And then the other thing is, this is featured as a leadership summit, but you don't have to be a leader to go to this, okay? Our association of churches in our region is having Karen Herring come in, talk about Me Too and the church, definitely a relevant topic. And she is founder of a ministry that's called Libera, I think it is. Sorry, I'm not saying it right. It's on the card. I think I would know. She is my sister-in-law. She founded something. It's a ministry to women. It's focusing in West Virginia, and so she's going to come and speak. And but we do need to know if you're going to be attending. So there's an RSVP needed there because they're going to do a breakfast. So you can just RSVP to that email address. We'll send that out. It'll be in the newsletter. It'll be in an email, all kinds of ways. There are actually a few cards back there underneath the bulletin board about this as well, okay? So make sure you might want to check that out. So, all right, that's all I have. Let me just pray one more time for our time in the Word, okay? Lord God, we just come to you this morning just saying we need you to help us to focus on the Word. And Lord, we need you also to open our hearts. Think about that verse that says, open the eyes of my heart that we could see you. And we want to see your truth for what it is. And pray, Lord, that we would receive it. We would receive the truth and and take action. Lord, help us to see our hearts and to come humbly before you, knowing that you know better than we do when it comes to anything, Lord. And we thank you for the word that we have. We also just pray for people in our church family that are sick, that are in need of your healing touch, and maybe that are struggling spiritually, Lord. We just pray that you would strengthen them in their faith, help us to see our role, what our role might be in that, and let us be sensitive to the moving of your Spirit in that too, to meet needs within the body. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you've been with us, you know we're going through this little mini-series called Wisdom for Relationships, and we're looking at different proverbs and seeking to understand what God has to say about relationships. We've talked about friendship. We've talked about the power of the tongue and our words. And then last week, we started a two-part aspect of it on dealing with conflict, something with which every one of us can benefit from the principles in Scripture on conflict, because you put two of us in a room, we're going to disagree on something, okay? We're going to disagree on something, and we need to learn how to resolve conflict, all right? So, so today, and the way we kind of left this off from last week, is last week we kind of put forth some principles in Proverbs that talk about how we could maybe prevent conflict, kind of be proactive, right? If we follow certain principles in the Scriptures. And this week we're just going to just say, hey, you've got a conflict, now how do you resolve it, okay? Now you and I know it's not going to be as easy as ABC, okay? I get that. It's never quite that simple. But let me tell you this. If you follow these five principles from the Scriptures, it may just save you thousands in counseling, okay? That's not a promise, but it will help, okay? I'm just telling you, it will help, and it doesn't mean that counseling's never needed, okay? I'm a proponent of that. Biblical counseling can be a very much of a help, but I'm just saying there are some things. I tell you what, I never learned these things in the home. I never learned these things in the home. My mom loved the Lord, you know, and so on, but I'm just saying many of us never learned these scriptural principles on resolving conflict. And I think if we start practicing them, we're going to have healthy relationships in the church, and it's going to be a light. Because what this doesn't mean is, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have conflict. It means when we have it, right, then how do we deal with it? All right? So, no surprise on the first point here. It's a little bit of a reiteration from the last time, okay? You take the first step, okay? Yes, you take the first step is the first point here, okay? What are we meaning by that? Well, you know, we mentioned some other scriptures before about that. Remember, I gave you permission to stay in the parking lot last time. If you have a conflict coming to church, which I'm sure never happens to anybody, and to work it out before, you know, don't even worry about coming in for worship, right? Because Jesus says the priority is to get that relationship horizontally right first, and then, you know, because that's going to impact our vertical relationship with God, okay? We do not think they're disconnected. They're totally related, okay? And so, but this is this somewhat of a reiteration of that point, but look at this here in Romans 12:18. It says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. All right, and so, you know, we realize that it's a two-way street. We realize that that resolution of the conflict is not totally dependent upon us. But the point of this, an application of the verse, is basically saying we need to do whatever we can. All right, we need to put forth whatever effort we can to resolve the conflict. It doesn't matter who started it. It doesn't matter who was at fault, per se. We just need to be engaging and initiating the conversation, okay? Matthew 5:9, Jesus talks about how we should live as people of the kingdom of God. If you're a Christian, he says you're a part of the kingdom of God. Well, what is kingdom living like? And he talks about that on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. You know, if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, then you are a peacemaker, okay? you are a peacemaker. You're supposed to be on the leading edge of peacemaking, and that means just right where we live, as well as helping people come into a relationship with God so they could have peace with Him. All right? But we need to take the first step. Now, you know, I don't know if you know this, but usually, this is kind of a gross exaggeration, but every one of us is probably either a skunk or a turtle. All right? Skunk or a turtle. And that means when it comes to conflict, okay? Those that are skunks, when you're in conflict with somebody, everybody knows it. It's like you're spraying it all over the place, you know? You just, you know, I'm upset and everybody's going to know it, you know? And it just, everywhere you go, it just, you know, you just know it. Now, the turtle, on the other hand, obviously, you could guess, they just, you know, when they're in conflict, they're just retreating, running away from it, retreating into their shell, and not going to be initiating any kind of resolution, okay? So neither one, I know those are two extremes, right? We're probably somewhere in between. But I'm just saying, you know, neither one of those approaches is the way we want to be, okay? Neither one is loving, okay? It's not loving just to kind of try to hope that things are just going to go away, all right? And this is the thing, right? We don't want to wait. We need to not wait. We need to go in and decide we're going to, can we say, have a peace conference? Okay? Yeah? So if you're in conflict with somebody, you need to decide you're going to go get together with them and talk about what's going on. All right? But we, our flesh just hopes that, you know, as time passes, it's going to get better. You know, we've kind of bought into that time heals all wounds thing. I'm sorry, but that just doesn't work when it comes to conflict. It's still there. We're just not talking about it, right? And it does impact our relationships if we don't deal with it. So, well, why don't we want to deal with it? Well, many times it's because of fear, right? We're afraid. I'm afraid to talk to you about the conflict. You're afraid to talk to me about the conflict, whatever it is, because we're afraid that, well, maybe we're afraid of rejection. Maybe I'm afraid that if I talk to you about it, I'm going to have to reveal some things about myself that makes me vulnerable. And I'm not so crazy about that, because the last time I did with you, you went boom to my vulnerability, and you just kind of like slamming your hand in the car door. It's like you just don't feel like doing that again, right? But we need to try to override our fear, okay? And I'm not saying we should constantly be putting ourselves in the position of abuse, okay? That's not my point, okay? But I think the thing is that what we need to do is to say, you know what? I need to initiate the resolution of this conflict, regardless of who's at fault, and I just need to ask the Holy Spirit to give me courage, okay? And that's really what it is. You know, we, in of ourselves, we really don't have what it takes to get any of this done. We need God's help, right? And so when you think about this other verse here where it says in James 1:5, and this is in the context of trials, I would dare say that, you know, any conflict we have would seem like a trial, right, to us, a difficulty. And so James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. As you're deciding to do something about this and initiate conversation, a peace conference, if you will, with them, we need to ask God for wisdom, okay? We need to ask God for wisdom. You need to ask God for wisdom on the timing. When is the right time to bring this up? You know, because this is not always the best time, okay? And by the way, you know, if you're a parent, the best time to have this confrontation with your spouse, if that's who it's with, is not in front of your kids. It's not in front of your children, all right? That is not the best time. Now, yeah, there are minor things that's fine for your kids to see you working out, and I think that's a healthy thing, but there are many other things that should never be worked out in front of your children. It's between you two, okay? And it's important that we realize there's a timing to this, right? When you're exhausted, getting ready to go to bed, that's usually not the time that you want to work things out, okay? Now, I know there's a verse that says don't let the sun go down on your anger and all that, and I'm all for that because it's scripture, but, you know, there's plenty of time before the sun sets. Doesn't have to be right before you crawl into bed. Okay? I'm just saying, when your energy's low and you're usually not at your best, you're probably going to say things you regret, you know, you want to be prayed up and you want to be at your best if you can. I know some things can't wait. Some things are urgent. I totally get that. But I'm just saying, in general, pray for wisdom as you decide to take action and move into this conflict resolution. You need to pray. You need to ask God to give you the courage to overcome your fear, okay? So let me just ask you, when this topic comes up, who's coming to your mind? Don't answer. Keep it to yourself, all right? But, you know, the Lord usually brings somebody up, right, in your mind. When this topic comes up, maybe there's somebody in your life. Okay, now don't do this. Sometimes when we do this, we say, oh, I know who needs this message. Oh, boy, I'm going to give them a copy. No, you look in the mirror today. We're not talking about so-and-so, right? It's you and me looking in the mirror, okay? What we need to do is say, Lord, is there somebody that I have unresolved conflict that I could, I have not initiated with and I need to? Okay, and so if that's you, you need to obey the Lord and take action, okay? It's not easy. It's not easy, but this is what the Lord wants. He wants us to be peacemakers. He wants us to be the ones who, as far as it depends upon us, be at peace with all men, right? So who do you need to talk to? Make a decision to do something about it. You get together with them. You schedule a peace conference, if you will. You call them, all right, and arrange to get together. You don't want to do this by text message, all right, in terms of the resolution. You want to, if you can, be person to person, you know, in person, or at least a phone call. Usually everybody has a phone, okay? That's better than nothing, okay? So, you know, this is not something that we're just kind of throwing out there and it's total theory. This is very practical, all right? Very practical. So that's the first thing. Now, after we've done that and you've set up your peace conference, if you want to call it that, how do you start the conversation? How do you start the conversation? All right, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked. Okay, you need to start talking about what is your fault. What? Did I just say that? Start talking about what's my fault. No. You know, and I'm sure that could be our reaction a lot of times, like, well, no, you don't understand, Pastor Greg. It's totally their fault. Okay? Okay, well, I get that, you know, that we definitely have situations where it's like 99.999999% their fault. But there's usually at least some portion that we could own of the conflict. It might be even that you say, listen, I realize that way I reacted to our conflict was not good. All right, maybe it was your reaction. I mean, so you're not really saying, you know, it was all my fault or anything like that. If it wasn't, you're somebody, you know, try to think of something that you may have contributed to the conflict, okay? You know what? You know, make things up. And I'm saying, just try to search your heart, see if there is something, and lead with that, okay? Lead with that. Why am I saying that? Okay, Proverbs 3:34 says, toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. You see, to actually own a part of the conflict, you've got to be humble. It takes the Lord humbling you. And again, that kind of fits with the prayer, asking God, Lord, help me to see my part of this, okay? And so if we come into it instead of like hot and with gun, you know, verbal guns blazing and coming in humble, I think 99 times out of 100, the result is much, much better, okay? The result is much, much better. And, you know, James 4:1 says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you, is it not this, that your passions are at war within you, or your desires? And the reason I'm bringing this up is basically, you think about any conflict we have, it has to do with our selfishness. In some form or fashion, usually our selfishness enters in. Our selfish desires, right, is usually the cause of most conflicts. And so, in other words, there's just something usually selfish about what I bring to the conflict. And so we need to admit that. Now, Jesus is incredible when it comes to everything, obviously, but when he talks about this next verse, you just got to laugh, okay? Jesus, I mean, is making a point, but with humor here. He says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 and 5, "Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Okay, do you see how this would relate to conflict resolution? When we're talking about we need to own our stuff first and start the conversation off with that, that's part of taking the log out of your eye. It's saying, listen, I realize I contributed to this as well. You know, so he says, rather than kind of trying to pick that little speck of dust out of your friend's eye that you have the conflict with, why don't you get the telephone pole that's sticking out of yours out of there, right? And, you know, he's just, it's hyperbole. He's just, it's kind of a funny thing, but he's making a point, isn't he? And so part of that, taking the log out of our own eye, is going to be to start talking about our own fault that we bring to the conflict, okay? So this is how, I mean, I'm just suggesting that you start with this. It is a scriptural principle, just humility, right? Not coming in hot, like I said, but coming in humble is really, really important for us. Like I said, even if only 1% of the conflict is on your side of the ledger, so to speak, right? And again, part of that, taking the log out, might be just confessing, you know, hey, I was oversensitive about this thing, or maybe I was insensitive to you, or I had unrealistic expectations, whatever it might be. You have to ask God to search your heart in that time of prayer, all right? So that's a way to start talking about it. Start talking about what is your fault, okay? So after you've done that, so you've started this conversation, then guess what? We're going to do some listening. All right, you say, but Pastor, I haven't got a chance to make my case yet. Well, just hang on, all right? Listen to their perspective, all right? So after you've shared what you've owned about the part of the conflict, then they're going to be talking back to you, I'm sure, about how they see things are, okay? And perspective really does matter. Sometimes we just see things one way, right? And I don't know if you could see all this here, this illustration of perspective. You got the one guy on a desert island, very small one at that, somebody else out in a boat. You know, one guy saying, oh, great, there's a boat coming. The other guy was stranded in the boats looking at the island and said, oh, great, there's land. You know, it just depends on your perspective, doesn't it? Right? And so I'm not saying there's not such a thing as right or wrong. That's not my point. But when it comes to disagreement, sometimes it's not about right or wrong, right? Sometimes it's just totally about an opinion. I have a conviction about something, you know, and I have a reason for what I'm saying and all that, and that's all good. But it's important that you and I listen to hear the other perspective, okay? I got to say, I had a little lesson on this when we had our pastor's retreat not too long ago. In our region there, there's one of our churches is in Garfield Heights in the Cleveland area, very poor area, and there's two, it's a multiracial church, okay? Purposefully, they're trying to be that way. And one of the brothers there, who's African-American, was really talking a lot about his views on politics and all this sort of thing. And I was like, well, you know, I really need to do a little listing on his perspective, because he has way different perspective than I do on a number of things. That didn't make us enemies, by the way, nor should it. And it was really good for me to hear, because he had some really good reasons why he thought the way he did. Okay, and I got to say, you know, I haven't always been like this over the years, but I got to say, Lord was really showing me, you need to listen to your brother, right? And you need to hear his perspective, okay? Because you're not always right, Greg. I'm surprised, right? I know it's not, but I'm just saying, that's just a simple example, and he and I were not in conflict or anything, you know, but it was just got me thinking about that, how perspective, you know, sometimes when we have a conflict, we're just totally missing it. You know, Linda and I, the other day, this is so funny, I was trying to help her on her computer, all right, and we were updating her laptop, and I was trying to show her some things on the new operating system version, all this, and I was pointing at the screen, and it was clear to me where I was pointing. I knew exactly where I was pointing, and then from her perspective on the other side, she didn't know what I was pointing at. She's like, that's not helping, you know? And she was right. It wasn't helping. But from my point of view, I was totally obvious what I'm pointing at. I mean, come on, can't you get it, you know? And it was, but it was funny. It's kind of funny. We laugh about it, you know, and everything. But you know what? It's, we sometimes, you got to go into that peace conference thinking to yourself, I could really be missing something here. Maybe I'm totally missing maybe the reason they reacted the way they did or behaved the way they did was because something that's happened in their life. Okay? And we need to get that. We need to realize that we don't have the whole story, okay? And I've tried to, I'm still growing in this. I've tried to do this as a teacher. Sometimes I can get a real attitude at school because I've heard every excuse in the book, okay? And I pretty much know them by heart, okay? But sometimes they're real. Sometimes they're not made up. You know what I'm saying? And I can get critical sometimes. But the Lord rebukes me on a regular basis and says, no, you don't know the whole story, Greg. You got to take it on a case-by-case basis. You know what I mean? We need to do that in our conflict. You know, you cannot pretend you know, unless you really know that person, you don't know the whole story. And understanding some of their story and their background and all of this is part of the listening. Because maybe in that peace conference you have, in the part of that listing, you're going to learn something about why they did what they did. Okay? And it may not excuse it, but I'll bet it'll explain it. And you know what? If the more you know about me and understand me and I understand you, the more loving we're going to be towards each other. Because the more we focus just on behavior, the more we, you know, if we go into a peace conference, so to speak, and we're just focusing on behavior and not listening to understand why that behavior took place, you know, we're going to be judgmental, typically. And this is part of loving, okay? You know, this is part of loving people, is listening for understanding, okay? That's loving, okay? And if I'm not mistaken, Jesus said something about the love we have for one another and how that in itself is a witness, right? For good or for bad, right? Either way. So, know this, my beloved brothers. Sorry, I forgot to get to the verses here. Proverbs 18:2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion, right? Oh, man, have I fallen into the bad part of that one? I know I'm right. I just need to make my point across. Certainly they'll understand. You know? No. You need to listen to get understanding, okay? If I don't, it says I'm a fool. Right? A fool takes no pleasure in understanding. In other words, a wise person actually does take pleasure in understanding. Understanding where they're coming from. Okay, we getting this? This is important stuff. I mean, this may seem like ABC stuff in relationship, but I'll tell you what. This is where we live or should live every day. Okay? This is the stuff we need to teach our kids. This is the stuff we need to model and continue to learn and grow in. Okay? Unless we're going to live out somewhere in a cave by ourselves. And even then, I think we'd have a conflict, you know, within ourselves. So he says, know this, my beloved brethren, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen, right? Quick to hear. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. How many times have you just like got it out of your mouth, you know, and then the other person says the reason and everything, you're like, oh, wish I had listened first, right? And these are just principles in Proverbs, our wisdom literature here that God is telling us, listen, live this way. It's going to be loving, right? And it's going to be healthy for your relationships. Who do you need to understand better? Who are you making judgments on before understanding them, right? Think about that. Who in your life do you need to understand better? So, When we have a conflict, we need to make a decision to initiate conversation. Pray about it. Ask for wisdom. see what part we bring to it, and let that be the start of our conversation. Right? And then we do our listening for understanding, right? Next. Now you get to talk about your hurt, okay? Speak the truth in love. You know, you could talk about, you know, how their part of that conflict affected you. What was right, what was wrong about it? Or how did it hurt you? How did it make you feel? That type of thing. That's where you speak the truth in love, okay? Notice I didn't say just speak the truth, right? We're speaking the truth in love. Some say, some have made a saying of this and saying, you know, make it a truth burrito. You got to wrap it in love, okay? And that's really what the Bible tells us here, not about the burrito thing, but don't tell everybody I said that the Bible talks about a burrito, okay? I didn't say that. So this Ephesians 4:15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Now, I know that's only one part of a verse and a part of a section, but listen, this is part of maturity. This is part of maturity. The ability to deliver something that's difficult to hear in a way that's loving, okay? That's a skill, and that is a grace that is delivered, okay? And we grow in it, okay? And, I mean, the first time I shot a foul shot, it wasn't so good, all right, in basketball, but I got better at it with practice. And let me tell you what, again, if you're breathing, you'll have practice, because there'll be conflict and you'll have opportunity to speak the truth in love. Okay? Now, just to illustrate, you know, you could go up to somebody and say, you know what, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. Oh, that might be true. Oh, it is true, actually. Okay? It's not even a might be. Okay? Right? If you don't know Jesus and have a relationship, you're going to hell, right? Okay? But it would be nice to deliver that in love, right? To say, you know what? God loved you, sent his son to die for you, right? Died on a cross, rose again from the dead because he wants to have a relationship with you, okay? But you have a sin problem. You and I both have a sin problem. It's good to let him know that you're all in the same boat, okay? Right? And if you don't say yes to Jesus, right, and put your faith in him, then we will be separated from God for all eternity in hell. That's just reality. Now, I think that's a much more loving way to say it, because actually it explains more fully what the problem is, doesn't it? But how you deliver it is as important as what you're saying, okay? And I think that we got to get this. We got to realize this, that when we speak the truth, it needs to be in love. Proverbs 12:18, again, we mentioned this the other day. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And again, we need to pray that God would make us wise in how we deliver truth, okay? And again, we have to be filled up with the Spirit, and we have to know what the truth is if we're going to talk about the truth, right? We've got to know our scriptures, but we want to deliver them in love, okay? The goal should be restoration, not like getting your point across, okay? Okay, the goal should be restoration in the relationship, okay? Now, while we're talking about delivering truth, that means we're talking about speaking again, right? It's good to be reminded of this Ephesians 4:29 and also Colossians 3:8. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." And again, this idea of no corrupting talk, but only words that come out of our mouth that would build up. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't deliver difficult things to hear. No. It just means, again, it needs to be done in a way that builds up. Now, Colossians 3:8 mentions some things, some aspects of speaking that we need to guard against, okay? He says, "But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, and slander and dirty language." All right, that's the New Living Translation. Now, let me just make mention of this. So there are some things, there are some words that should be off the table. Okay, some types of words. Can we say that? Some types of words. In other words, think back to the Cold War, right? The U.S. and USSR back then, right? And have the nuclear arsenals built up, you know, but there was some agreement, supposedly, that there were certain weapons that would not be used. Okay? That's kind of what we're talking about. We're saying, you know, there's some language here we're just not going to bring to the conflict. Okay? It's off limits. Okay? So, for example, here, getting rid of anger here. Don't intimidate. Okay? In this peace conference, you know, don't be one who's kind of overbearing and intimidating with anger. Get rid of anger. Okay? And again, that's going to take being filled up with the Spirit. Okay? And then get rid of malice. Well, you know what malice is, and it's not just the malicious behavior, but it also comes out in words. Getting rid of malice means don't speak with words that intend to hurt. Right? In other words, I know your buttons, and I know the words that push them, and I'm going to use them at will. That's maliciousness. Okay? That's being malicious. And so we should not be that way. Those types of words should be off the table, right? They should not be used when we're speaking the truth in love. And lastly, get rid of slander. Don't speak insults to one another, okay? And this is just, again, we read these things, and we're saying, but we do them, right? And so we have to be careful. Let me just make one other challenge to those that are married, and that is, don't use the D word as a weapon. Divorce, okay? Don't use that as a weapon, okay? And I'm not saying that there are never scriptural grounds for divorce or anything like that. I'm not saying that, and I'm also not saying that there are never uses for like a separation in certain situations. And hopefully the goal is to get back together. But just hear me this, that a lot of people use that as a weapon, okay? And you should not do that. That should be off the table, okay? Do you hear me? And I understand we can have a great degree of frustration and difficulty and all that, but just in your own mind and heart, just kind of take that off the table, okay? So, again, we're talking about speaking the truth in love. Certain words that should not be used, okay? Now, lastly, and this last point here is kind of overarching. It kind of just remembers, what is the goal here? What's the goal in this conflict resolution? And the point here is just focus on restoring the relationship, not on resolving every disagreement, okay? In other words, you know, listen, you're not going to agree on everything. There's just things you're just going to have to agree to disagree, right? I think Washington could use a lesson on this, okay? It's just to realize, you know, we're going to have these different disagreements, and we can disagree but not be disagreeable. I guess that's the way to think about it. It's that, you know, there's a way to do it that's loving and to say, okay, we're just going to have to agree. You got your point of view, I got my point of view. We're not going to come to an agreement on it, maybe. Or maybe we will. I don't know. I'm just saying that your goal in your conflict resolution should not be that you're going to agree on every little point. If this is not a sin area or something, and it's a matter of opinion or something, or a way of doing things that's not scriptural, you know, you might just have to say, you know, I hear what you're saying, and I realize why this caused a conflict among us, but I guess we're just going to have to agree that we're not going to agree on this one, okay? But what you need to do, though, is to make sure that you are committed to still having a relationship, okay? Yeah, I get, you know, some people are going to be closer friends than others because of things that we think and believe and all this. That's fine. But don't let these things that, you know, you end up having a peace conference on and get together with and talk about and realize it's really a matter of opinion, how we're seeing things. Don't let that drive a wedge in your relationship. Just acknowledge the difference, hear each other, and to say, okay, we're just going to have to live with that difference, you know? And that's going to happen in your own household, okay? I don't know any husband and wife that agree 100% on everything. I mean, if you are, come on up, you know. Write a book, you know, because I'd like to read that. You know, it's just not going to happen, okay? It's just not going to happen. But realize, you know, our goal is reconciliation. You know, the relationship. It takes work to make it work, but we want to keep that relationship alive, okay? And I was just thinking back on this, is that if we are to be the deliverers of the greatest message in the world about reconciliation and we can't reconcile ourselves, that's bad news, you know? That's bad news. We need to be good at reconciling with each other, okay? Because if we're going to want to have a voice with the gospel message that speaks of reconciliation with God, it's not going to hold any weight. Really not. I mean, it doesn't negate the truth of the message, but people aren't going to hear it, okay? And so this verse here, 2 Corinthians 5:18-20, this is in the New Living this time, says, and all of this is a gift from God. It's talking about salvation, right? Being forgiven is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. Let's not slip by that real quickly, okay? You know, again, the gospel message is that we have sinned, and because of our sin, there is a separation between us and a holy God. And so we are out, you know, we're not in a relationship with him. That's really it. There is a conflict, if you will, okay, of a cataclysmic kind, okay, the results of which are incredible, you know. And so, but what Jesus did, right, by coming and dying on the cross for our sins and paying the penalty for us and bearing the wrath of God for us is, this verse is saying, because of that, he brought us back to God God brought us back to himself through Jesus, okay? So it's through Jesus we are brought back to God, or reconciled. That being brought back to God is reconciliation, okay? When you have a conflict and you're brought back together, that's reconciliation, right? So every person that's born into this world needs to be reconciled with God, okay? They don't have nobody's born in this world with a relationship with him. We need Jesus Christ because that reconciliation comes through Christ, it says. Back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. You see, everybody needs to be reconciled with God by putting their faith in Jesus and admitting their need for a Savior, right? And then we need to deliver this message of reconciliation, that it's possible to be reconciled with God, right? And it says, For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. You ever think about that? Right? When you're delivering the gospel, God is speaking through you. You're giving, it's his message. You're the messenger, right? He says, and God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. In other words, he's saying, be reconciled to God. This is a statement of love. He's like, you know, you got to realize you're in a pickle. And that's an understatement, right? That when we're separated from God, in need of a Savior, and he's saying, listen, I urge you to understand, God sent Christ to reconcile us to him. Will you not believe in him? All right? So I'd be remiss to talk about reconciliation if we didn't talk about being reconciled to God. Okay? And so listen, today, if you've come here and you're like, you know what? I don't know whether I have a relationship with God or not. In other words, many people think that they're born into this world with a relationship with God. No, that's not true. We're born in sin. Even David said that. Okay? King David said, you know, I was brought forth in sin, you know. He was born in sin. And so we're born into this world with a sin problem. Christ, his offering on the cross pays for that, but it doesn't count for you unless you, by faith, believe in it, okay? And that's the thing. For me, that's what I realized. You know what? I have to believe it. I myself have to believe it. It can't be my parents' faith that saves me. It can't be somebody else's faith. It can't just be knowing the information that saves me. It has to be that I actually believe it, that I'm going to trust Jesus and say, Lord, I believe I need a Savior. I know I do. And I want to be forgiven. And I want Christ to bring me back to you. Okay? And anyone can have that if they put their faith in Him. All right? Anyone. Doesn't matter what you've done. Okay? That's the good news of reconciliation with God. Okay? And I'm just saying here to end this, we need to see that not only do we have the wonderful privilege of the ministry of reconciliation, helping others connect up with God, but you and I need to be committed to resolving our conflict. Okay? We need to be committed to reconciling our relationships. Okay? It's got to be reflected in the church. If it's not, it just seems hypocritical. It is hypocritical. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this incredible Bible you've given us, the truth of your scripture that helps us, it guides us, it's so practical. And Lord, we need your help. I'm sure, you know, many of us have encountered situations where I just know it's just not, it's not so easy. You know, we know the principles, but maybe we're not practicing them. Lord, help us to practice these conflict resolution principles from your word. Lord, I just pray that we would not wait another day. If we have a conflict with someone, we wouldn't wait another day. We would actually pick up the phone. We would actually get together with them and say, listen, I'd like to talk with you about our differences and so on. And I know you're going to bless that. I just know it because it's what you want. And Lord, help us. Help us have courage. Help us to own our part. Help us to speak the truth in love and to be listening for understanding, for their perspective. And Lord, just help us to be committed to reconciliation, not just to resolving every little difference. We need your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.